get it.
So are you or Gordon going to present?
Special council meeting, Monday, March 18th, 2013.
6:30, according to the wall of the clock. Clock on the wall.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is. And we'll call the meeting to order, and would you take a roll call, please, Brent?
Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Councilmember Hoyland.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar.
Here.
Councilmember Steer.
Here.
Mayor Nelson.
Here. Thank you. Tonight's we're meeting together to kind of discuss where we're heading in pressurized irrigation. I've had Gordon putting together what could we do this year to try to get some of these issues that have held on for 15 years or longer resolved, get them done and wrapped up. And after he's worked on it and all, it really appears that we'll probably take him a year at a time. And so our first big problem is the subdivision up there, Ellis Butler subdivision. And we made an error many years ago when we let the developers sell off the irrigation water. And that's been haunting us ever since. So we're proposing to put them all under pressurized irrigation. And what we're what we would probably do is Gordon has spoke to Jeff Lang, and we'll be calling a subdivision meeting. Probably I'm going to meet with the superintendent this year, but we'll try to get him to agree to let us use the Ross Elementary gym. And we'll have the meeting there and talk about all of these people coming on pressurized irrigation. We've looked at the costs, and even though it's still in a state of not total, it looks like the $225,000 would cover that entire subdivision, with the exception of a couple of temporaries. So what we really had this work session for is we had three. We had Butler, and we had these two subdivisions down here, Oasis and the one further south of there. And then we had one of the or the industrial park. And we had part of the old part of the city, which is Martesan, and then coming back down Locust, that was a consideration. So what we kind of wanted to discuss with the council tonight is, are we very comfortable with spending that much money but getting away with, or doing away with these projects that have just haunted us forever? And you know, there was a letter sent out, and I'm sure you all got questioned and what have you. And the basis of that letter is, regardless of whether they're taking their water or what have you, we put a price of what it costs us to have that water, and then added it in. And I think everybody got a letter. All of those that could not or that were not given water before, or could get water before, all of a sudden got a bill for water that isn't being given. So I think what we are going to recommend is that we pick one of these projects and do it. Make that our summer project and break the whole town into the three areas that need that done. The only other one that I would suggest we take a look at is the old part of town. Now, the old part of town were promised that as irrigation lines came up, or pressurized irrigation lines came up the streets, they could hook up. Martesan was never totally finished, and I'm not quite sure why. And so Don Court and the part going back to Locust isn't done. But the rest of the town has a pressurized irrigation line, and I don't know if it's all of them or just a portion of them that have a really tremendous rate on a water rate to make up for the fact that they couldn't get pressurized irrigation when they wanted it. So that's carried on through the years, and I don't know. I think, John, you could tell us probably what they're being charged for their just drinking water if they're not hooked up on pressurized irrigation.
For the record, John Marsham. I'm sorry, Mary, I don't have that calculation in front of me, but I can certainly grab that in just a few moments if you
want. I think it was 33.
Yeah,
33 cents per 1,000 gallons.
Yeah,
anyway, it doesn't even pay to pump it.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure. Maybe Richard could tell us how that got put together, but I would imagine it's because we were trying our best to give them a source of water that without breaking them before we got the pressurized irrigation in there. So, Gordon, did that sound right? It was somewhere in that?
That most favorite rate was 33.6 cents per 1,000. So
okay.
Regular rate is $1.57.
Yeah. So anyway, in our research to do a project and looking at what all's going on in the different ones, we run across that. And, you know, I would recommend that probably we take that subsidized rate away and then give them the opportunity to hook up on a monthly bill type of thing instead of just hammering them. You know, and I know they're going to all argue that at one point they were promised they could hook up at no cost. And when we first started the system, it penciled a little different than it does now, but taking them off of drinking water for lawns and gardens actually saved enough. There was about a wash, so they were able to hook up. And now, 20 years later, they still want that same deal, I'm sure. I haven't been out and talked to many of them. So that's what this meeting is tonight. It's to decide if we take the pressurized irrigation, what we've budgeted, and put it into one major project, and then use, if we've got other things that come up. This project in Butler could be done and still have money left over to do small projects.
So what money are we talking about?
The pressurized irrigation budget and their contingency fund.
There's just a $200,000 surplus just waiting for us to do something with it, or?
Do you want me to take care of that one, Mayor?
Yes, if you would.
Mr. Mayor and Councilman Budenbonderhart, in the 2013 budget for pressure irrigation, there was a capital allowance in there for a project amounting to about $162,000. And then in addition to that, we budgeted a contingency amount to be disbursed at the discretion of council of an additional $150,000. So that would be a total of, $312,000. And it's that money that the mayor is talking about to dedicate it to a specific project of bringing an unserved portion of town into service. So I think that answers the question.
Was that original 160 earmarked for something else that we're transferring it away from? Or?
What was put into the budget and what we would need the direction of council on was it was budgeted for a project to extend from the end of the PI line on Boise Street, the unopened portion of Boise Street just south of Hubbard School. And it was to be extended to K Street and then south from K Street to the Tomorrow Pump Station right there off of K Street. So that was the project that was listed in the budget. And in visiting with the mayor, the two of us together talked about that it might be more useful to use that money instead of extending that line to try to bring some of these unserved areas into service.
Was that line for potable water to make our system more redundant? Is that what that one was for?
Probably redundant isn't the correct word, but I think probably what you're looking for is to make it, the original project was to make it work more effectively. Tomorrow Pump Station doesn't have a pond. That line would complete the connection so that it could effectively use the Sable Prairie Pond along with the Sable Prairie Pump Station.
So that line is a PI line, not a potable water line?
It is a PI line.
Okay.
With this proposed project, would we still be charging the homeowners the fee to set up with pressurized?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't tell you what that fee is yet. We're doing a big study on, not yesterday, but today, on what are our costs, and then dividing that up into what the hookup fee would be for those subdivisions that have gone on for years and years. It'll be different than the ones that we're hooking up right now, new homes and what have you, but there will be a charge.
If I recall, Mayor, it was about a year, maybe it was 2 years ago, we passed either an ordinance or a resolution to allow people to get on at about half the price, and then amortize that over 10 years, and they're paying their monthly bill like $8 a month.
Yeah.
And a few people have already jumped on that. And I don't think it would be right to reduce anything lower than that for these additional hookups. I think it ought to be the same.
I agree.
Yeah, and that rate still isn't what the new homeowner is paying.
Right, they're paying the full $1,800 or whatever it is.
Anyway, in order for us to resolve some of these, we'll certainly be giving them the yearly, and it would be our intent at this point, without us knowing the exact dollar and cents, that it would come in somewhere around what we gave all the others. So, and I'm in agreement with you that if we can do it at that reduced rate over a 10-year period, that's great.
I don't think, Mayor, that most of the public knows that's available, because if they knew it was only $8 a month, you know, I think a lot of people would jump on it.
Well, I really think that with this one, and with bringing the homeowners in and us discussing it, and the newspaper would be there, and so the word will go out, and so we would expect that others would certainly listen to that. You know, as soon as we started looking at south of City Hall over here, then Sharp Lane came in. They want pressurized irrigation. So I really think as we try to solve these problems, we'll pick up some of the others. And so, but the big thing that we kind of wanted to discuss, is this the route the council wants to go before we start having homeowners associations? And we're not going into any leftover funds under the sewer lawsuit, because that will free up some funds, but we're not including any of those in any of our projects this year.
Well, I certainly think it behooves us to do that. I mean, our cost of supplying potable water as opposed to irrigation water needs to be taken care of sooner than later, but yeah, at some point we're going to have to start putting in more wells for potable water, and that expense is going to get out of hand.
Has the calculations been done for those that are receiving the 30-some dollars per thousand? Are we losing money on that, and if so, how much each year?
Probably $1.57 is not too far off of what the real costs are. So the answer to your question is yes, we're losing money on
it. And how much? You know, in a year or two or three, how much would we recapture by getting them on pressurized irrigation?
Oh, you're speaking of those who are benefiting from it. If they didn't benefit from it,
right,
how much would I guess I don't have that right off the tip here.
But you figure a buck and a quarter, you'd be you'd be charging more than what you're charging now in, what is there, a couple hundred of them? But, or maybe not that big, but...
I actually did some looking at that, but I didn't bring it with me, so I apologize. I just didn't think to bring it.
But the suffice it to say that the savings would be considerable.
So the 300 and some thousand dollar capital expenditure could be somehow paid back by the savings and providing them potable water for their irrigation at 31 bucks a thousand?
Yeah, I think it would be paid back in part by that, but also there are other things to consider. Every time we take a resident that's using potable water for irrigation purposes off of the potable system and replace it, we actually free up about 2 EDUs worth of water. So, like in Butler subdivision, there are 90 residences in there. That would free up 2 per residence, or about 180 connections. And of that 180 connections that are now free to be sold to somebody else, then you pick up connection fees off of that amounting to about $400,000. Compared to the $225,000, $250,000 expenditure that we had on it.
So my feeble brains, I think that in the long run, this would be great. In the short term, it might be a slight ouch in the budget this year, maybe next year.
Yeah, in that sense, it would be like most projects we do. It doesn't balance right at first, but over the long haul, it probably will.
Plus, our wells are getting up to close to $1 million well per well. And I'll bet you by the time you put in the next one, it will be at that. Because this well 10 was what,
800,000.
800,000. So.
And that didn't include land cost, and it didn't include a power supply.
So you figure, you know, taking 150 homes or thereabouts and taking them, putting them on pressurized irrigation, that's, I think well number 10 gave us an additional 1,700 hookups, didn't it? Something like that.
It's close to that. It's 1,700 gallons per minute, and that's just about right.
So, and then we free up different households and different numbers, and pretty soon we don't have to put an extra well in that we're, at least for a few years, anyway.
So would that 300,000 and change take care of Butler this year? Is that what you...
Our initial estimates say that it would.
Yeah. And I'm not a long-time QNAN, so tell me, where's Butler again? Is it behind us here? Is that where Butler?
No.
Butler is on the corner of School Street and Boise, northeast corner.
Northeast corner of School. Okay.
Butler Park.
Where Jeff Lang lives.
Yeah.
Okay. Where the this is it. Boys and Girls Club's going.
Yeah, the Boys and Girls Club's going, right? Yeah. That's the neighborhood, right?
Okay.
That's that storage tank, Butler Park.
And that would take up what percentage of our properties in question here? Half of them?
No, maybe... I think I've got figured or see in the master plan, it talks about more than 1,000 residences that do not have PI service.
And this is 90, so about a tenth.
About a tenth.
Ooh. I was seeing big.
And some of them are scattered, and you know, it'll take a while to get to those.
So about 20% of CUNA, because we have about 5,000 housetops, mm-hmm. plus or minus, so about 20% is not on potable water.
Not on PI.
Or PI, right. Excuse me. They're all on bottled water, unless they got a well in their back.
Yeah.
Right, a few of those.
But we really feel what appears to be happening in climate change and what have you, that we really need to get the whole city on it and then start doing some other things to cut water usage down. So it's just one of those things that we've kind of let slide that we really need to pick up and do.
So the, so the homes like on, in the old part of town, mostly can get the pressurized irrigation except on Martesan.
And then around to Locust.
That Don Court and that area. And so that's another one, is that, do we know how much it would take to finish that one, or is it?
I don't think Gordon's put a sharp pencil to that one yet, but that.
That's correct. We identified some areas and then decided which one we would focus the attention on in preparation for this meeting.
Okay.
And that turned out to be Butler.
Anyway, that would be our recommendation. And we didn't want to discuss this in your council meeting because you need to kind of take a look at it at home and say, do you kind of want to go this way or should we just let them ride? But if we let them ride, the problem is just going to get worse. And we would suggest then that the letter that went out to everybody that hasn't been getting a bill this year just to receive that. And we'll pick up the projects that we can pick up. And we'll let them ride until we're ready to issue the pressurized irrigation into their system.
Is there documentation about this that we're supposed to have?
Some what?
Is there any documentation about this that we're supposed to have to review? And
Well, you will have that if you tell us that this is the way you'd kind of like to go, then we'll get it.
I do have some stuff here on the project that you discussed. And then you should have something on the Board of Correction on the other item the mayor just discussed that should be available now.
Yeah, I think it's in your packet on the Board of Correction.
For tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Right, but I thought you just said you wanted us to take this home and mull it over and see if it was something that we wanted to proceed with, but we don't have it. I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything. We don't have anything to take home and look at.
Yeah, you don't have this project in detail, except Gordon has worked out some details on it.
Hey, Gordon, on this little sheet right here, at the bottom there, it says accounted for Ray, Boise Project Board of Control, I would assume. What's the Ray?
I like the guy's name. What is it, Mike?
What happened there, they rebuilt a gate. So at the time, we had to stop taking usage off that gate. They got it fixed. We started taking usage off again, and they never put the card back into Boise Project Board of Control. So we got 200 acre feet of water off of it, but it never hit the books because they forgot to get us back on the books.
Oh, okay.
So our water pack statement at the end of the year was 200 acre feet short, or so around that number, 20 figures.
Okay.
Now the sheet that you're looking at, I think that's from the packet for tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, I think all we got is Board of Correction stuff for tomorrow. I don't think we don't have anything for tonight, so I just wanted to make sure that was correct, that there's not anything that we're missing that we're supposed to have to be considering.
Except what I've got here, yes.
Wait, what? Except what?
Except the information I've got here in support of what the mayor talked about.
Right, I just want to make sure that we weren't supposed to have anything because we don't have any documentation, so.
Mayor, I would be more comfortable if we decide to do this project before we decide on it, as we get the whole package decided on, the connection fee and how it'll be done and everything. I don't want to just decide to do the project and then later on say, yeah, well, now we're going to charge this. We need to have the whole thing ironed out up front. That would make me a lot more comfortable.
And we will do that. The big thing we needed from you to know that, or to tell us that giving them 10 years or 15 or whatever that was, where we gave them a monthly bill for hookup would be acceptable. And so we'll put those figures together. And so I think that the figures that we've got, $312,000 we could use, and this project's going to come in for about $250,000, unless we get some breaks that So we're not going to break those funds, but it is a sizable investment, and the, you know, just coming off of 8 years of just austere, we weren't sure that you'd even want to do what we're recommending.
Yeah, I certainly think it's worth the staff time to finish putting it together so we can see a little more detail on what it is. And I think it sounds like we're going the right direction there.
I heard a side comment, I think, after the last meeting, something like we had to have 30-some road crossings and it cost X number of dollars to buy off ACHC. That's probably the wrong term. But it would cost X number of dollars to do. What was that all about? Does that apply here?
Yeah, there's some of those figures that are in here. There's 50,000 that we've included. Gordon is going to be doing some negotiating. But the big ones that we're not going to be able to get negotiated down very much is the crossings of the two main streets, Boise Avenue and School. Once we get into the subdivision, we'll negotiate with the highway district to try to bring that down.
And the reason for those fees is we're tearing up the road and have to repave it? Is that what it's all about?
That's part of it, but the fact of just putting the pipeline in the street and the cost for doing that was also in those figures. The number that you were talking about, the 50 or 30 or whatever it was we went through the different areas where we had some low-hanging fruit and counted up the number of street crossings that were involved, and I think that number came out, what was it, 32 or 33, Mayor?
Right.
And that's the number probably that you heard. This particular project we're talking about here has 6 street crossings.
With 2 across major streets.
And make sure there's no sinkhole and dip in the road like that one over there on the canal on Deer Flat before you get to the high school that sunk this year for no good reason.
Really?
Anybody been over there and noticed that? It's probably about 500 to 1,000 feet east of Linder Deer Flat on Deer Flat where the canal crosses underneath the Deer Flat. It's got a dip. It's sunk. And the existing canal has been there for years.
I'll have to go drive through the ditch.
Because ACHD's put a sign, ACHD's put a sign up, bump in road. It's not a bump, it's a dip.
Drive through the dip and see if any fuzzy heads poke up.
So you're talking about it being west of where the high school is?
It's east of, yeah, west of the high school. It's like halfway between the intersection of Deer Flat and Linder and the LDS Church.
Which side of the road is it on, north or south?
It's diagonally crossing the road. It's a dip clear across the road. It's sunk.
Oh, kind of right by where the Life Center is.
Just before the Life Center.
Where it kind of goes across.
We did a water line project, but I think that was on the north side of the road. And I don't know that there was any of this angling.
This is the irrigation canal that crosses under the road, and it's sunk about 6 to 8 inches.
I don't know what caused it.
Okay, unless there's further questions, this work session tonight was strictly to go over, shall we break these into manageable projects, and would you like that better, or would you rather just keep on the what we had budgeted? Because it disrupts the flow of where we're going to take this next year, except that we would correct a problem that's bigger than probably what we would have projected out.
Well, that 150 some contingency money, whatever the dollar amount was,
150,000.
Obviously, we have that contingency money for you to use at your discretion when pumps fail and whatever. And if we use a sizable portion of that, where's that going to put you?
Well, hopefully, I would presume that we would be okay. But you know, contingency is contingency. It means in the first instance that I didn't have a specific project outlined for it, and that it was completely at the discretion of council whether it got used at all. So it's placed here. If you're willing to designate it for this purpose. Back to your other comment regarding if we have a problem, do we have monies budgeted to handle problems? And yes, we do. So if pumps go out, for instance, I have a certain amount of dollars set aside to deal with pumps, even though I don't know which pump is going to go out.
Because we had something like that last year, didn't we? We had a pump problem.
Yeah, and we used it, the money that was used to fix that was out of these other budgeted funds, not the contingency amount.
Just don't want to put you on a bare bones budget for the rest of the year, if that's...
I appreciate that.
This is the same, we're talking the same contingency fund related to like the membranes and the screens and stuff?
Each of the enterprise funds has a separate contingency amount. They're budgeted separately in each one of them. It's, no, it's not the same dollars.
Okay.
So this is a PI contingency fund?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, all of that being said, I think I would prefer to go ahead and start getting some of these big problems taken care of so that eventually we can move forward and keep moving forward.
Well, in the future councils will reach back and thank you, because the they're not going to go away and they're going to get worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have one more question and or comment. So when we go through with this and we got the 90 homes in Butler there, let's say there's maybe half of them that don't want to connect because they don't want to pay the $8 a month or whatever reason they don't want it. They like their brown lawn or whatever, and they just don't want to connect. Today we're charging them that $31 for the season, which they get to use so many gallons of potable water. And if they flat out refuse to connect, I assume we're gonna go ahead and charge them the full rate for the water and not give them that discount anymore for the season. Is that true?
It could be, but in order for it to be true, you would have to act to change the resolutions.
And that's what I'd be for. If we have people that are dissenters and don't want it, okay, well, it's there for if you don't want it, then we're going to charge you full rate on your water that you're using out of the potable system. That would be my take. Give them incentive to hook up. I'm not trying to be mean about it, but, you know, they can't have it both ways.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we will cover with them when we have the subdivision meeting. We'll go over all those contingencies, but by that time, we'll have to each of you the total figure so that at that point you can say yes or no. Because it's a sizable one, and there's some people that, you know, that the reason that our rates were really cheap before they started raising them, they never did get down to the 33, but you could have quite a few thousand gallons for the minimum fee, and the minimum fee was cheap. And part of it was to solve the problem that we created at Butler and trying to get those people to irrigate. And even with that, like you say, there's some that care what their lawn.
I've walked through this yeah. when I was campaigning 4 years ago, and some of those yards are the same color as this table.
Yeah,
they don't water their yards. They're pretty bad. A few of them in there, and there's some nice ones too. But that subdivision, there's some people don't care about their property.
Well, I've had a couple ladies call me on Oasis back here where they can't hook up. They were terribly upset about getting a bill, but they say they use household water, and they come in very frugal and a lot less than the pressurized irrigation system that we would bring to them at a later time. So, but they still want the pressurized irrigation. They're not swearing they're going to use it. Yeah. Okay, well, I think we've got what we needed. Richard?
I've got some questions I'd like to ask Gordon. Can you, first off, could you pull that lamp up or do something with it? It's...
You can't see the expression on his face. Just turn it around. Yeah. Right at you. Yeah.
My first question is, what happened to all the water rights to these subdivisions?
Well, it's a different story for each one of them, but for Butler, the mayor already mentioned that they they abandoned their water right or sold it or whatever way back when.
Yeah, they sold it.
Okay. Other subdivisions still have it, like Oasis and I can't remember what the other subdivision is, Sunwood Court. Or, they still have their water right, and the city, in fact, is paying the bill for that water right. But each subdivision is a different story.
Okay, my question is, let's use Butler Sub. We don't have water rights to that property. We've annexed properties and have taken or bought the water rights to all those other properties. How far can the city go annexing properties that don't have water rights and extend the acre feet that we have allocated from the irrigation districts? How far can we go before we go back on potable water because we've used up the acre feet that are allocated to the city?
That's a very good question. But let me answer it this way. It seems that every year Boise County Irrigation District has water rights that are abandoned that they turn around and offer them to us if we need it for unrighted areas, including like Butler subdivision.
I think, did we already get water rights from Butler or not?
As individuals sign up, we had several in Liberty Court, that Liberty subdivision, which is back over here. We had three people sign up in there, and I just transfer a quarter of an acre, or 2/10 of an acre, whatever it is. We have 26 acres extra over our ground acres. We have 1,700 ground acres, and we're getting charged for 1,726 acres of water. So that was a kind of an accounting error with Boise Cuna. So I'm able to transfer those. I have enough to cover all of Butler and a few of these other places. The water's there.
So anyway, Boise Cuna has been working with us to cover these areas with water rights as we bring them in.
Okay. In the past, I think you've mentioned to the board or to the council that we use something like 25% of the PI is potable water every year. That figure may be out of proportion, but that comes to mind.
There will be a spreadsheet in your council packet that actually addresses that issue. We provide out of the potable system, at least we did in 2012, we provided 362 acre feet of water to supplement what was provided through the irrigation gates, the canal gates. I'm not sure where the 25% came from. We actually are on record in last year's allotment of being able to get 6,507 acre feet of water. So that's 362 compared to 6,507. Of that 6,507, we had 5,108 acre feet delivered to us.
And the rest of it was wasted?
Not called for. Of that amount that was delivered to us, we actually wasted, and it went over the weir and wasn't pumped, was 130 acre feet. So 5,100 was delivered, 2,100 was not pumped of that 5,100. So all these things tie together with how we work the facilities. One of the reasons we put ponds or try to put ponds next to these pump stations is so that we can use it as a buffer to collect water during low use times and deliver it during high use times, and hence get a higher percentage usage of that water. Even then, even during higher peak times, we still need to supplement certain areas of town with our drinking water to to the tune of 362 acre feet.
So these projects we're proposing will start cutting that down. Okay,
I guess I wonder, where does the water that is not used, where does it go?
If it's delivered, it goes down the drain ditch.
Yeah, into drainage ponds and then on into the creek.
Let me back up now. If we put PI into Butler, we've got 90 homes there. At $225,000, it's going to cost the city about $2,250 per house. Does that include if they already have sprinklers hooking on to the valves on the property, or are the people going to have cost incurred hooking on to the PI coming across their property?
All of these costs that we've talked about assume that it's the homeowner's responsibility beyond our point of delivery or beyond the tap.
Okay. In the past, I think those that did not have PI, and I think John will have to keep me straight here, I think we either allocated 40,000 or 45,000 gallons in the summertime. Then anything above that, they were charged for the potable water for the yard.
That's close. What is allocated for each monthly potable water bill is 10,000 gallons without any additional charge.
Right.
Once you get to 10,000, from there to 45,000 gallons, then there's a subsidized rate for those who use it, and that's the 33.6 cents per 1,000 gallons. Once they go past that 45,000 gallons, then they go back to the regular rate of $1.57 per 1,000 gallons.
Okay, I guess my question is, how long could we subsidize a household in Butler Sub at the cost of $2,250?
What cost do you want to include in there? Do you want to include the cost of drilling additional wells, or just the losses in revenues? Is that the only number you want to include?
Probably the numbers lost in revenue and how long it would perpetuate into $2,250.
We could certainly bring that number back to you.
Okay.
My mind, it'd be a while.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I guess my next question is, having somebody buy property and then the city come and mandating that they have to meet current curriculum that was not mandated when they bought the property, you know, if they're, let's say they've been there 10 years at Butler Sub, and then the city comes along and says, we're going to bring in PI. It's going to cost you $2,000 to hook up. And on top of that, you're going to have to pay the $100 a year for pressurized irrigation. Like you said, some people have been very frugal with the water to where they can subsidize their lawn and their yard on that 45,000 gallons. This was brought up probably 6-7 years ago, pressurized irrigation as opposed to non-pressurized. And I can't think, other than Best Bath, an issue that brought so much discussion from the council was, how do you treat those? I don't know. Do you have pressure irrigation where you are, PI?
I think the big bugaboo was that they would have to pay that full hookup fee right up front. There was no payment plan, and and we're talking about a reduced amount with a payment plan. I think paying that full amount was a big issue for all those homeowners. It would be for me.
Part of the rub for me, I think, is, well, it's great that these folks might be able to be frugal and live within that 45,000 gallons or what have you. Is it fair to make the rest of the population of CUNA subsidize their water use? I mean, if it actually costs us $1.57 or whatever it was per 1,000 gallons and they're only having to pay 33 cents, you know, the rest of CUNA is paying for them to use the whatever method they consider to be best for them instead of what the majority of people already have to use.
But by the same token, they bought the property without the pressurized irrigation available to them. I just have problems mandating to our constituents a condition of living here in CUNA. I think it ought to be an option, but not a condition. But if they don't accept the option, it sounds like we're going to penalize them for not taking the option. And
well, I don't think we've crossed that bridge yet. That's why we wanted to have a subdivision-wide meeting close by, get them in, because, you know, the big objection and the big fear that started over here wasn't at all thinking forward about, oh, wow, I can hook up to pressurized. It's just that you got a letter billing them for something they couldn't get.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you get into Butler and the feeling is, and that's why Jeff is going to be asked to put the meeting together and we'll all go over and listen, but I'm not real sure what we're going to encounter there. And so if the consensus is that they don't want anything to do with it, then we'll be back to sell you on another project. Because if the people aren't going to buy off on it, if they feel that, you know, it's what they're looking in the future of water getting more scarce and more expensive and what have you, if that doesn't get them to thinking, nothing will.
If that community meeting, if it's not articulated well enough so they understand, a lot of people don't hear what's being said.
Yeah.
And whoever's going to run that meeting is going to articulate it properly.
Well, and that's why before we ever do anything, we're going to have the meeting with them. Because besides knowing which way the council would like to go, we need to know which way they want to go too. And so, you know, they've lived there. Now, believe it or not, that 25 acres was offered to me for $15,000. For those houses were there. And I said, nah, it'll never be worth $15,000. Anyway.
Yeah, uh-huh. It'll never worth $30,000. We're ahead of
so,
that.
Anyway, yeah. So a lot of them have lived there a long time, and a lot of them don't use much water. So.
Well, I agree that it's unfortunate to have to at some point get people to have to do things that cost them more money, but the long and short of it is it just costs more money each and every year to do things, and if we don't kind of get all on the same track, then you know, we're looking at our water tables going down, and you know, it could eventually become disastrous for the city. So I really think we need to use our due diligence to get this pressurized irrigation system together and working, and nobody wants to have to pay more money for anything, but eventually we're all going to have to, so.
Well, yeah, and you know, like Meridian is now moving into an area where, you know, they're doing some real well protection, and they're, even the casing of wells has got to be done in a certain way. So you don't contaminate a lower layer, upper layer. You know, all of those are being pushed now to try to keep your drinking water so you're not chlorinating and throwing it out on the lawn. Anyway, okay, I think we covered what we wanted. Gordon, did you hear what you wanted to hear? Or did we get, maybe not what you wanted to hear.
I think this did exactly what I need to, I need to hear the reaction and the questions.
Okay.
And then proceed from there to try to put together a package for consideration by council. Councilman Cardoza, I think I heard from you that you're not terribly interested in a mandatory switchover, but an optional one. That's something that can be structured into the whole package. So
I think I have to agree with the mayor. At a public debate or public meeting, if we got the feel that the majority of Butler sub did not want to hook up to it, then maybe it's time to move on to another sub that would be agreeable. One question I do have is, PI comes from the dams, basically surface water. If we have a short year and acre feet is down, are we going to subsidize that through the summer with potable water, or do we cut off the same date that the surface water is cut off to us?
You know, I think that's a policy decision by this board right here. The shortage of water is usually known well in advance. And then it would be offered to the board to advise the staff how to deal with that.
I thought we already did subsidize in terms of, I thought we'd had a discussion before about everybody waters at the same time in the morning, and so it sometimes causes us to have to basically, for lack of particularized terms, inject the system with additional water in order to keep up with the demand.
That's exactly what happens. So you have different approaches, but one of those is to try to get people to spread out their demands throughout the day instead of all of it from 5 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock in the morning.
And I think what Richard was asking was, let's say that we stop getting delivered water from the irrigation district, let's say the 1st of August, are we going to pick it up through the rest of the summer on potable water? Is that what you asked?
That will in fact be a question that will be handed right back to you to make a decision. And I presume that it would be discussed in the same way this question was tonight. The ups and downs and all the considerations will go into a discussion of whether we do that or whether we shorten the season and let the grass brown up.
Yeah, the droughts we went through, you know, in the 80s and what have you, the irrigation company wouldn't deliver, you know, you start off with your delivery system on excess water. If there's no excess water, then they just delay. And of course, it's that time that every gardener in town calls Richard and says, how am I going to water my garden? Anyway, and then in the end, before we had the pressurized irrigation system, we didn't have any choice. You just shut off the irrigation water.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather have a brown yard than all the farmers out here, crops dry up.
But even in those really droughty years, we were able to sell off some water so that we could maintain ours a little bit longer. So we would, to different farmers that were hurting, we sold some.
Mayor, I've got one more question.
Okay.
You said that 6507 acre feet is delivered every year, I believe.
Actually, that's what our allotment is.
Allotment is. Mm-hmm. We get 5108 delivered. To me, that's a waste of about $13.99 somehow.
That's correct.
Why? We've got the ponds to retain that water. Why can't the ditch, when we turn on our weirs to the from the irrigation district to our ponds, are those set for the whole summer at the same amount of inches going through the weir to our ponds, or does that vary as to use?
No, you can order or change the amount of water delivered as you anticipate the demand to go up and down. But you have to usually do it a day ahead.
Right, right.
In order to get that delivery, or to close it down to avoid wasting more into the drain ditch.
So are we up on that in order to avoid the waste going down the ditch out of the ponds?
Well, the question I think probably you're leading into is, would we be better off to order and waste more going over the weirs? And that possibility always exists. And I don't know just exactly what decision process Janice uses in making those decisions. But what we're accounting for here is the amount of water not used. That's what right. The purpose of that chart was.
So if it turns cold and rainy, we'll shut it off after about the third day.
I guess I'm just wondering how to avoid losing 1,500 square or acre feet each year to total waste. Is the drawdown of, I think that pump or that pond over by me is Sadie Creek. I don't know what the acre feet is, how much acre feet is held in there, but how long would it take to draw down that entire pond?
That pond has about 2 acre feet in it.
2 acre feet?
I think that's what it is. 3 acre feet, excuse me. 3 acre feet. It takes a little time, but I think if there was no water coming in, it would be less than a day that it'd be gone.
One day? Okay. Would it behoove the city to not mandate but request, like odd numbered houses do it on Monday, Friday, Wednesday, and Fridays, and even numbered do it Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays?
Yes, we've reserved to ourselves the privilege of maybe even making that a requirement. We haven't exercised it thus far, but that certainly could be done. And it also was a continuation of Brianna's discussion concerning the use of potable water to make up the absolute peak times.
Right.
Same issues involved.
Okay. Thank you, Doug.
What happens, Councilman Cardoza, is United Water tells everybody that the absolute best kind of water is that period of time from 5 in the morning until 10 or 11 in the morning. Everybody believes that, and that's true for United Water. But for us, it's not true. It actually works out far better if we could balance out that demand all day long and the evenings, too.
Well, your other choice would be to go to each subdivision and tell them approximately what hours to use to irrigate then in order to equalize the use of the pond and the water flowing over the weir.
That's a possibility.
And that could be something maybe we should look at. I know you do nothing between 9 and 10 every morning, so. But, you know, not mandating, but requesting that they use certain hours to each subdivision might put a little relief to the ponds, and then request that the odd and the even use it on separate days. In a little town like this, I would hope that we would get a little cooperation. I'm not sure, Mayor, but it's something to approach. Rather than mandate it, request it and see how much response we get from the community. I think people are starting to, kind of like Joe said, realize how important water is to us. Without water, we don't survive 3 or 4 days. So.
Okay, any other questions? All right, we entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Move and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. We're adjourned. Thank you all for coming. All of these questions.